Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those of you who'd like to call in who are in the L.A. area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for those who are everywhere else, including right here in the Man Is It Friday Yet San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free call-in number is 877-697-9725. And producer Kaina will be ably manning the chat room as long as there are no technical difficulties. You can log in there and listen in, make a comment, and if you have a question that you'd like to type in, you can put it in, and she will make sure that I get it. So, today we're going to talk about being helpful. And it really is very sweet when I think about all the times that, you know, I was in a grocery line and somebody said, hey, you've only got one thing, you know, why don't you go ahead and go, you know, you can go before me. Or that wonderful individual who, when you're trying to merge, will actually slow down and let you merge in. Or maybe you're trying to get out of a driveway and the person stops and waits for you to come out. All of those things are amazingly helpful. Opening a door for someone and holding it for them. And, you know, just that little bit of courtesy that as a species, I think it is very important for us to show to one another. I taught my sons from a very young age that, you know, if there's a lady, you know, or you hold the door for anyone, but especially if it's a lady. And also, if, you know, somebody is having a difficult time with something, you go up and say, you know, can I help you? I'm always very proud when, you know, and I stopped having to remind them of it when, you know, they were fairly young and they both grew very tall. And I would see one of my sons, you know, they're watching somebody trying to reach toward the top shelf and they can't quite make it when they go over and, oh, can I get that for you? These are wonderful ways that we are able to help one another. And we are creatures of community. And it's important to have that connection with each other. As a doctor, I find often when people are going through a really difficult process where it's really challenging for them and they want to be able to manage something or they're having a really tough time accepting that maybe a condition is progressing to the point where they can't be as independent as they used to be. Being helpful or offering help can kind of go into a different place in that way. And because it pushes an edge, sometimes somebody may respond, you know, you hold the door for them, I can get it myself. I don't need help. And the first response to that is like, you know, hey, you know, gee, why are you being a jerk? You know, I was just trying to help. And being helpful is very much subjective because it deals a lot with the perspective of the person being helped. I was speaking with someone, and the idea that it's like, well, this person was telling me a problem, and I wanted to give them a solution, but they weren't listening to it. And I said, okay, what was the problem that you wanted to help with? And so she described what the problem was. And I said, okay, what was the problem behind that? And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, usually the main problem is not what the most surface thing is. What was going on with that person that was the actual trigger behind it? And she said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, maybe the solution you offered wasn't the solution that they needed. It's usually a good idea to really listen to someone who's going through something, because most of the time, whatever they vent, they surface vent with, that's not the core issue. That's not where either the fear or the anger is really coming in. And this has really kind of come into, you know, my personal field a lot lately. And it's interesting to observe how different people respond to it. If I have somebody who is really having, you know, a really major physical challenge, and a lot of my patients are, I will wait and say, it's like, oh, okay, do you need help with this? If you need help with this, let me know how I can help. While at the same time allowing them their autonomy. Sometimes people just want to be asked if they need help. They don't necessarily want people to jump in and help or solve. And it comes from the best of intention. I am not wanting to say that you should stop helping people or stop offering to help people or that it's a bad thing, because it's not. It comes from a really good, wonderful place. And if you're one of these folks who's willing to take a few minutes out of their day or, you know, just focus on something that someone else needs, God bless you. You know, that's just a wonderful thing. And the other side of that is knowing when the help is actually helpful and really tapping into and paying attention to what that person is going through. And I have many different friends with many different backgrounds and in a lot of different areas. And someone who has a very strong personality has a tendency to come across, it's like, you know, you're 5 seconds into explaining something or venting about something, and immediately they're like rapid fire, solution, solution, solution. Well, this is what you need to do, and then you need to do this, and then you need to do this. And it's like, look, I was just venting. And that seems to be very confusing for them, because their personality type is, okay, here's a problem, we fix the problem, we all get to move on. And that's very cool, except when there isn't the groundwork laid for, okay, you're complaining about this, go ahead, why don't you share it with me? And figuring out that maybe there's something else going on that has nothing to do with that initial situation. And it may be some old issue that's come up that this person is really, you know, the match was lit when, or the fuse was lit when the incident, the triggering incident happened. But the triggering incident is a symptom, it's not a cause. So being careful when offering help, remember that you're dealing with a body, a mind, a spirit, and a history. You're dealing with someone else's story. And sometimes people don't want their stories messed with. And sometimes they react or, you know, say hurtful things. Even though it's not really about you and it's, well, I was just trying to help, it's figuring out when that help is appreciated and when it comes across as trying to be a little bit controlling. Often, some of our dearest friends can have that, well, you know, I know what's best for you, you just need to listen to me. I'm telling you the truth, and da-da-da-da, and if you only listen to me, this would work out, which is one of the favorite aspects of a class that I'm leading, facilitating, called The Artist's Way. And I've done this several times, and one of the things it brings up, because it's about reconnecting with that creative aspect within yourself, and more importantly, figuring out what happened to it, because it wasn't always missing. At one point, it was whole and it was complete and it was doing great, and certain things happened that caused it to get buried. You know, it could have been as simple as, wow, well, it's not like you want to sell that or anything, but it's not very good. Or, well, you know, it takes a lot of work to be an artist. Most people fail at it, and you really don't have that kind of talent. You know, you don't have to be able to sell something to enjoy creating something. And even though those statements may have been intended to be very helpful because, you know, they don't want you to get disappointed, it still creates these little internal wounds, and it creates very hard stories. You know, when somebody sings and somebody jokes, well, don't quit your day job, that creates a wound. That's okay, I'm never going to sing publicly again, even though it may be something I love. And maybe they're joking, maybe they're just trying to be helpful, but sometimes the help is not very helpful. And it's important to recognize that we all do that sometimes. We all come from that hugely well-meaning place, and it's just not the best thing to say at that moment. And the really cool part is, and it may seem not so cool, but the really cool part is if somebody looks at you and says, you know what, I understand you meant that as a helpful thing, but it really did not help. That's not the help I need. That is an awesome thing, both for the person saying it, because a lot of times people will just, well, okay, you know, they don't want to hurt the feelings because they know that the person cares about them, and they don't want to hurt them the feelings or make them feel bad. So they internalize it and take it on themselves. When they actually say, you know what, not a helpful thing for you to say right now, gives the opportunity for the person who is the helper to go, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. What would be helpful right now? And it creates this awesome opportunity for growth, for healing that comes based in respect. The person who needs help needs to feel respected. They need to feel as though they're being supported but not shoved. And like I said, this has been coming up quite a bit in where I've been able to observe different people going at helping from different perspectives and watching the response of the person who's being helped or not helped in some cases. And it may be that the exact same action with two people, one person is tremendously grateful and just gives you hugs and takes you to lunch, and the other person says, oh, my God, that was such a horrible thing for you to say or do, and I'm never going to speak to you again. So it really is very much along the perspective of the helpee, and it's always good to find out what it is that the person really needs in that moment. Because when you're in that situation where maybe you don't know what would help you, but you still want someone there present with you, and you get to be able to say, you know what, this is what I need right now. And there's really an adorable little thing that was on Facebook that it was like these little cartoon drawings, and one person is sitting, you know, they're sitting by themselves, and the other person, you know, it's like, well, you know, are you're feeling bad? And it's like, yeah. Like, well, do you want to talk? No. And then the person who's helping says, you know what? I built you a nest. And the nest was like pillows and blankets. And so the person who needed help goes up under it, and the person is sitting next to them saying, is that better? And it's like, yes. Are you going to come out? No. And then the person who's helping says, hold on a second, and in the next picture it shows the person who's helping underneath the pillows and the blankets with the other person and just sitting there with them. Sometimes what people need most is just someone to be there, someone to hear them, and then let that person figure out how to express what it is that they need. When I had reached a certain age level with my sons, or when they had reached a certain age level, there was a lot of contention, a lot of friction. And one of the main pieces of friction was I was told that I didn't just listen to them, that I was always trying to advise them when they didn't want the advice. And my first thought was, I'm your mother. Of course I'm going to advise you. And then I had to realize, okay, these two young men don't need mommy the way she was, because I didn't want them unable to resolve their own things. But it was really hard for me to sit and watch them struggle. And, you know, whether you're a parent, whether you're a friend, you know, whether somebody's trying to, you know, open up a jar, or they're struggling with something emotional, or they're trying to lift something, sometimes the best thing we can do is just, you need something? You need some help? Or just wait for them to ask and let them work through it. So what I told my sons was that I was no longer management. I was a consultant. And what that meant was I was no longer going to observe and try to solve whatever problems they had the same way that I did when they were younger. They wanted my input. They could ask for it. And if they did not ask for it, I would simply listen, and at the end I would say, well, I'm sure it'll work out fine. I believe in you, and I know you can handle this. So that was a tremendously hard thing to do. My whole work choice and, you know, being a doctor, being, you know, doing healing on different levels, my whole thing is, I want to try to bring this situation back into balance. Well, actually, first it was, I'm going to save the world. And I know there's several of you world savers out there, so, you know, hurrah. And when we reach that place of, you know what, maybe this person needs to experience this fully, and then that's the time to step in. So I had to go against my own instincts to intervene in what I thought was something that was not helpful and just stay back and wait until I was asked. Yeah, I'd always, it's like, hey, you know, the offer's out there, you know, you need anything, doing okay, how's it going? And if I just heard fine, it's like, okay. And I had to override, and I'd just watch, and I'd observe. What I found was that the less I said, the more they said. And by just having an open invitation that the person knows you're there for them, and then suddenly I would get a call. Hey, Mom, I need your advice. Like, wow, okay. Don't get too excited. All right, just, all right, that's interesting. Tell me what it is and how can I help you? So when we want to, you know, be in that place of the helper, it's important to acknowledge that that person may need to work through something. When helper is someone who supports, someone who's, you know, the cheerleader, and someone who, you know, lends a hand when asked, that's a very, very cool thing. The not-so-cool aspect of that is when you become codependent and helping becomes something you're compelled to do. Helping becomes, well, no, you know, you need my help. You can't get along without me. So being able to find that balance point between the two, being able to go, okay, is this something that is life-threatening? In the vast majority of times, not so much. When CPR training is going on, one of the things that they teach is that if somebody is choking and you say, hey, do you need help? And they indicate no, or they wave you off, you cannot help them. You are in violation of their rights. They could be standing there and their hands are, you know, it's like, you know, or they're trying to cough something up and you ask if you can help and they say no. You really can get into a lot of trouble if you do that, if you touch them, if you intervene. And it's a really, I mean, if you see someone struggling, of course you're going to want to help them. But if they refuse it, you have to honor that. Now, what they also teach in the CPR class is, that's okay, just hang around and walk around for a bit, because if they go unconscious, then it's implied that they would have changed their mind and said yes. Which is interesting, I suppose. You could just walk around following somebody who's choking, and it's like, okay, and down they go. All right, now we can intervene. Now we can act, because it's an implied request for assistance. Anything before that, nope. And sometimes when we're dealing with people, especially people close to us, it reaches that place of, you know, well, what's wrong? Nothing. Come on, I know something's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. No, I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. And, yeah, you know, that can be a really frustrating place to go into. Probably almost as frustrating as those times when we really need to work through something ourselves and somebody's following us around going, can I help? Can I help? What's going on? What's going on? Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah, that's pretty aggravating too. So what that comes down to is a lack of communication. It's, well, you say that you don't want, I know you do. And the person maybe in that moment, no, I really don't. To be able to step back and go, you know what? Okay. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way? And if they say no, that ends the discussion. It's like, you know what? I'm here for you, and let me know when I can help you. Let me know, you know, if you change your mind, because I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. Or you say, you know, well, you know, okay, well, can I get you something to eat? And it's like, well, yeah, you know, I could use it. I could use something to eat. Oh, okay. Especially if you know what their favorite food is, and you're like, oh, well, you know, gee, would you like some pizza? Oh, well, yeah, maybe. By letting go of what it is that you want for them, it allows them to feel like they have the right to say what it is. Because especially if it's a problem where they're feeling like control has been taken away from them, forcing help on somebody is not the way to alleviate that, because it's still another case of their autonomy being taken. Maybe someone has gotten some really bad news and they are in the denial phase and they don't want to talk about it. If you know what the bad news is, you know, you can say, you know what, I heard about this, I'm really sorry. You know, it must be really hard. And they may say, and it's like, well, no, I'm just dealing with it. I'm fine. Let them be. Let them hold that, because that denial is sort of like system shock. It helps them get through those first few minutes. Don't wait. Just like the person who's choking will ultimately, you know, if it's that bad, they will fall over, go unconscious, and then you can help. The person who's keeping that tight lid on their grief or their fear, eventually it's going to come out. They're going to latch out at something, and then they're going to let that emotion and energy out, and then just wait for it. Wait for them to drain off the energy, and then come in with, you know what, would you like some coffee? Or, you know, would you like some tea? Or can I get you a blanket? Just work around it, and then they open up. Often when dealing with people who, you know, come to me and they've got chronic pain or they've got, you know, a lot of issues going on, I take the time to, you know, it's like, okay, well, what's this and what's that? And, you know, it's like, well, my back is really tense and, you know, and I can tell they're carrying something like majorly inside. I mean, you know, sometimes they just lifted something wrong and it went badly. Other times, the body is reflecting what it is that's going on inside. The body cries the tears that the eyes don't, which means that if the energy of that emotion doesn't come out through one channel, it's going to come out another way. And very often, it can be body pains and body aches and tightness because you're constantly in this fight or flight because you're anxious or you're upset or you're under a lot of stress. And while it's not the only thing that may be going on, it's definitely going to contribute to it. So being able to recognize how far you can go to shift something when somebody's not ready to shift. If you open a door for someone and they go, well, I could have done that. I'm not helpless. More than likely, they're dealing with a personal story where they feel scared that they're going to be helpless. It really helps not to take things too terribly personally. Or if it's someone you know, you can say, whoa, where'd that come from? Hey, you know, we're friends here, or we're family. I care about you. Is something wrong? You know, I can tell something's bugging you. You know, you're doing all right. If you want to talk, I'm here. And just leaving that doorway open, because we all want our help to be helpful. And as long as we take a moment to consider what that person needs as opposed to what we want for them, it can go in a really, really good direction, and it can be helpful, and you become a safe person to talk to. And if you're the one who needs help, let people know, if you can, how they can help. And if you don't know, tell them you don't know. So, you know what? I don't know, but can you just sit in the room with me for a few minutes? Or, you know, can you go get me something to eat? Or can you just kind of give me about, you know, 15 minutes just to be by myself? As long as they know that you're nearby, you don't have to intercede because you don't know totally what they're going through, what their story is. But just by knowing that someone is there and just being that place of safety, non-judgment, and nobody who's going to try to fix it, that is probably, in my humble opinion, the most helpful. So thank you for joining me again. We will be back next Thursday. If you're in the chat room, I will do my best to get to the chat room. For some reason, this thing decides that it wants to do 18 different things and freeze up doing them when I try to log into the chat room. So I will log in. I will get to the chat room. For those of you, if you're there and you want to ask me any questions or anything like that, you know, I will get there eventually. You just give me a few minutes. Otherwise, if you want to learn more about me, you can reach me at www.the-healing-house.com. And if you want to send me a message, if you're curious about what other things I do, and if you would like to have me come and speak where you are, that's cool. I love to travel. So until we meet again, until next week, I wish you balance. I wish you blessings. I wish you the most helpful kind of help. And I wish that you can be the best possible helper that you can be. Because at some time or other, we all need help. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. You all take care of yourselves and take care of each other.